Talking today with Mark Hodges from Plains Grains. Mark, let's talk 2016 harvest. We're making good progress right now. The latest Plains Grains report showed some pretty dramatic improvements in the harvest completion numbers for Texas, for Oklahoma, and for Kansas.
We really are. And, of course, early on we were concerned because it was almost an instant replay of the last 2 years where when the crop in North Texas was mature and southwest Oklahoma was mature, it started raining and it just kept on and on and on. It was almost an instant replay. So, and it did hurt quality a little bit, test weight specifically. But, you know, now we've gotten the kind of weather we need. We've really made, as you mentioned, drastic improvement over the last week, and we expect to make dramatic improvement over this next week as well.
I know that, you know, when we looked at the reports from the Crop Scouts back 1st of May, the area that they really expressed as much worry about as any area was north central Oklahoma, but some of the reports that we're getting out of there are just exceptional.
They are, and I think what it'll show you is how much influence that weather makes from the point at when the Crop Scouts were out there, which was April or early May, till maturity. That the weather in that time frame makes a world of difference. And you know, the 2 years I spent in Oregon averaged 61 bushel to the acre across the state. And one reason they do is because they have perfect grain field weather year after year after year. And that's really what we ended up with this year, especially north of I-40, was really cool weather, plenty of moisture in the profile, and we were protected in most cases from diseases, and so it really allowed that crop to reach maximum yield potential, and so we're reaping the benefits of that.
Plains Grains is well known for with your grain buyers across the country and even internationally for the work that you do in getting the samples, looking at the quality, the functionality, as you like to call it, of the wheat itself. Tell me what your learnings are thus far.
Well, of course, test weights have been phenomenal once we got north of I-40. And, again, the reason south of there it wasn't quite as good is because they did have so much rain on the crop. So, you know, from a bushel pounds per bushel aspect, we really got a good crop out there. And, of course, that's an indication to the miller what kind of meal yield, how much flour he might be able to get out of that. And the other thing we really pay attention to is protein. Protein's really the building block for how that flour, eventually dough, is going to perform. And it's not just the quantity of protein, which we're low on this year. It's also the quality of protein there that's there, because you can have, you know, we've seen years where a 10-8 protein would perform better than a 12 protein. Just because of the quality of the protein was better than a 10-8 protein, wheat protein. And so we look very closely at that. Of course, the quantity of protein's lower this year. One reason for that is when you get high yields, high test weights, it basically dilutes whatever protein's there. It dilutes across a much bigger volume, so you get lower proteins. But I can tell you in the preliminary testing we've done, and we don't have the data and we aren't going to release this data, it's just preliminary data we've done through mixograph work, yes, we do have low volume of protein, but the protein that's there is good quality protein. So we're very encouraged with that. What that tells us is that if we can add a little bit of protein to the crop through blending, whether that be as hard red winter harvest moves northward, or we have to maybe pull in, the miller may have to pull in some spring wheat to add a little more protein to it. We're very encouraged about what that end product could be, because it is quality protein we're looking at.
Right. For the crop, I know that USDA and the Crop Scouts seem to have different ideas in both Oklahoma, especially, and also Kansas for that matter, about the size, the potential yields of this crop. Seems like because of that good grain field weather, we're realizing those higher numbers.
We are, and I think the difference between USDA and Crop Scouts are that what USDA is going to report is what they actually pull out of the field, what they're actually looking at. They've got a formula that's based on quote-unquote average years. And they're reporting across long-term averages what they expect to see. I think the difference is crop scouts, in many cases, you're talking about elevator managers or university agronomists that have over the years looked at crops. And when they see certain aspects in certain areas, they get a feel for what that yield may be. And again, elevator managers are very, very good at predicting what they think it's going to be. They have to be able to handle a crop. And so, you know, their numbers have been higher and continue to be higher than what USDA's are. And I think over the next 2 to 3, 4 months, you're going to see USDA continue to climb in their estimate. But again, they're basing theirs off of field-gathered data that may take a little longer to get in the system.
With that Kansas crop, one-fourth harvested now, what are you hearing thus far from as you talk with folks up there?
Well, I would take the Kansas crop right now. I'd take it from I-35 east and I-35 west and everything south of I-70. Mm-hmm. If you look at east of 35, again, some phenomenal yields, high test weights, but again, you're diluting protein. And so there's going to be lower protein in those areas, I think. Then when you get west of I-35, in Kansas, again, the further west you go, probably not quite as good of yields as you have in the eastern part. Not that they're not great yields for those guys, but a little lower yields. That protein's probably less diluted, so you're going to probably see a little higher proteins, especially the further west you go in Kansas. So I've got high hopes for that crop as well, but again, it's probably going to be more in the western part of the state versus eastern part of the state. Of course, Wichita is kind of that dividing line, so you're going to hear, I believe you're probably going to hear some diverse reports from Wichita to Salina, and whether it's the east side of 35 or the west side of 35 and how far either way you go.
Right. So. Overall, both for Oklahoma and for Kansas especially, they really didn't move the needle too much on Texas on the estimate, the latest estimate as far as total production is concerned for 2016. But they did up the Oklahoma crop some, up the Kansas crop quite a bit as far as the overall total production number in the June report. That seems to be in line with what you're thinking then?
Exactly. I think it's almost predictable in a sense that in Texas, they were down 17% on planted acres. The bulk of that was from basically I-35 east and north of Waco. That area just had so much rain during planting season, they didn't get a lot planted. So even though there was a lot of rain, when harvest happened, and it's, you know, there's still some acres down there probably aren't going to get harvested because it's too wet. You were talking about that's where the lower planted acres were to start with. So what wouldn't have that much of an effect on overall acres harvested and bushels harvested. But then once you get into Oklahoma, that same rain, while it was not good for southwest Oklahoma in the sense that that crop was already mature and really needed to come out of the field, the further north you go, and I'd say that even into Kansas, when the rain started, it helped the potential of that crop because it just wasn't nearly as mature. Mm-hmm. And so the further north you go, probably that estimate was low, or the estimate keeps getting higher because those rains were beneficial. And if you remember when those rains started, we were at a critical point in this state where if we didn't get another rain in a week, 10 days, we're going to start going backwards in a hurry. So it came just at the right time, except right. for those guys in southwest Oklahoma, if it just hadn't kept raining. It happened about right for especially north of I-40 on up into Kansas. So, no, the increased estimates don't surprise me.
Put your hat, OGI hat on for a moment, if you might. What are you hearing right now regarding the various varieties that you represent from OSU? I know some of the early things I've heard about Bentley have been just outstanding.
It has been phenomenal. Of course, I go back to we were on the brink of really needing a rain whenever it did start. Of course, Bentley does extremely well in drought-type conditions, so it already had a running start, should I say it that way. Had a running start, and then we got the really great weather for it during grain fill. So it has. It's done extremely well. Double Stop, again, has just done phenomenally. Ruby Lee has done extremely well. Of course, Ruby Lee is a racehorse variety to start with, and it does take a little more management. But after last year when we really had a wreck with stripe rust and a lot of acres did not get sprayed, there was a lot of fungicide went out this year, and that helped us all the way across the board. But especially for a variety like Ruby Lee, which has a lot higher end yield potential, if they invested the money in fungicide, it really paid off for them this year. But yes, Bentley, Double Stop, Ruby Lee, and of course Iba's done extremely well this year too.
I know, you know, with your agronomy background, it seems like we've got, you know, we've still got some educating to do on a lot of our wheat producers to move up that next level of management to take advantage of some of the genetics that seems to be bred into these newer varieties by Dr. Carver and his group.
No, I think you're right. And of course, I've said a lot of times, and I know I may be biased, but I believe this completely. We got the best wheat breeder in the world. You can look across the board at any other state in the nation, and they do not have a breeder that has the type of diversity that Dr. Carver's got, or has the functionality or the mill and bake qualities combined with that, which is what millers and bakers want. And those millers and bakers recognize that, and they recognize Brett produces and Dr. Carver produces that. But you're right, we have an educational opportunity here that we need to take advantage of. We need to educate on what these variety potentials are with the proper inputs, but we also need to educate on why it's important from the miller, baker, elevator manager standpoint and what they have to deal with. And this year is probably going to be a golden opportunity to start some of that type of education, because I think we'll have some receptive ears to try and do that education, not only from producer side, but all the way through the marketing system.
Right. Okay.